You're listening to The 21st, as you heard, named after the 21st state. I'm Brian Mackey. Earlier this year, in January, a federal court in Illinois ruled that a panhandling law was unconstitutional, saying it violates the First Amendment, freedom of speech. The state law had read, "No person shall stand on a highway for the purpose of soliciting employment or business from the occupant of any vehicle." The ruling permanently bans the law from being enforced. That means panhandlers in Illinois can no longer be ticketed. Similar local ordinances in cities across Illinois have also been repealed or ruled unenforceable by the courts. Nevertheless, and perhaps because of that, panhandling is on the rise in different parts of Illinois, as are public complaints about panhandling. A recent piece in the Pantograph newspaper in Bloomington said city police in Rockford, Illinois, are receiving a flurry of complaints, with the deputy police chief there being quoted as saying, "Our hands are tied. There's not a law for us to enforce." And in Peoria, city council members met in July to discuss solutions to a significant rise in panhandling there. Joining us now to talk about this in Peoria in particular are J.J. Bullock, government and business reporter for the Peoria Journal-Star. He has a recent piece titled, "Homeless People in Peoria Resort to Panhandling to Survive." J.J., thanks for joining us on the 21st.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Kate Green, Executive Director of the Heart of Illinois United Way's Home for All Continuum of Care. Kate, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
And Chris Schaffner is the Program Director of the Jolt Harm Reduction Foundation in Peoria. Chris, thank you for joining us as well.
Brian, thanks for having us on today.
So, JJ, I want to begin with you. In your reporting, you profile two panhandlers in Peoria, Adam Sells and William Rogers. Can you tell us a little bit about them and their circumstances? You know, what led them to panhandling and currently experiencing homelessness?
Certainly. So Adam is a 38-year-old Peoria man. He's been chronically homeless, he said, for 2 or 3 years. Kind of on and off. Sometimes he has housing, sometimes he does not. And he was very honest about the things that landed him in this situation. It was a mix of mental illness and alcohol abuse. So he certainly did not make any excuses as to why he was out there. He had lost his job as a welder a couple months ago because of alcohol abuse. He had lost his home in South Peoria because he could not pay the bills. And he found himself back out on the street. And he was in a tough situation, and it's him and William both described it as very, very stressful. These were not people who wanted to be out on the streets panhandling. William was a first-time homeless person. He had just become homeless back in May after he had trouble with the people he was living with and didn't know where else to go. He was disabled. He had been on Social Security income since 1991. And he didn't know what else to do other than go out and ask for money on the street. And that was kind of the situation they were both in.
And your piece also talks about the violence they have faced for panhandling and experiencing homelessness. Can you share some of the things they've encountered on the streets?
Definitely. And that was sort of a surprising part of this that I did not expect to come across in my reporting. I was hoping to just speak with them about their reactions to what the city was trying to do in restricting panhandling. And it started with Adam showing me this wound he had on his hand. And he said, you know, we were just talking, he said, "You're not going to believe this, but someone threw," in the story I described it as a rock, but the way he described it, it sounded more like a chunk of concrete or chunk of sidewalk that someone had thrown at him while he was sleeping on the steps of the Salvation Army building. And he described people throwing rocks, bottles, shoes at him. William and Adam both described sort of the verbal abuse people would inflict on them just because they were out panhandling and just because they were homeless. One of the things Adam said was, "People got something against homeless people? Like, are you kidding me? They hate me that much just because they were homeless." He also described situations where people would pull up to him in a car and pretend to give him money and pull it away before he could grab it and drive away. So it's really this inhumane treatment of them that was very shocking that I did not expect to come across in the reporting.
Okay, we're going to need to take a break here in just a moment. But before we do, Chris, can you just sort of briefly say your organization works with people in Peoria who are struggling with addiction and in some cases homelessness. Can you talk about just briefly the connection of those life circumstances to the act of panhandling?
Well, sure. I think first we just need to acknowledge that not everybody that's panhandling on the streets suffers from a substance use disorder or from mental illness. While those two things can exacerbate a life situation that puts them in a position they feel the need to panhandle, it's always the case. And I think sometimes the assumption about that, these folks are just drugies looking for the next fix.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm gonna interrupt you there. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, Chris, because it sounds like we're having some trouble with your Zoom connection, so we may try and connect with you by phone instead. Let's take that break. We're going to continue our discussion on what has been a reported rise in panhandling across several different communities in Illinois. Rockford has seen this, Peoria, Springfield as well. We're going to continue our conversation after a short break. Listeners, we want to invite you to join us, 800-222-9455. Have you seen an increase in panhandlers in your community? Do you think people should be allowed to do that, or would you like to see your community doing something to try and prevent that? 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. We're spending the rest of our program today talking about the issue of panhandling. I'm sure a lot of you, as I have seen a lot of people. It seems like there are more people, especially standing on busy intersections, at the entrance to the Walmart, wherever it might be. Not the entrance, but I should say the sort of on the street where you turn into the Walmart. That's where I've seen a lot of people in particular standing with signs asking for money. This is something that police departments in Illinois have said they're getting more complaints about, but there are no laws to enforce. At least that's what a deputy police chief in Rockford has said about this. We are speaking about this with J.J. Bullock, who's a government and business reporter at the Peoria Journal-Star, who's written about this issue. Also, Chris Schaffner, program director for the Jolt Harm Reduction Foundation in Peoria, and Kate Green, executive director of the Heart of Illinois United Way's Home for All Continuum of Care. Listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We want to know, how do you feel about panhandlers in your community? Have you noticed an increase where you are? Are there certain life circumstances? Do you want to think, oh, is this person really needy? Are they homeless? Does it matter to you whether they are or not? As we were just hearing before the break, not all panhandlers are necessarily struggling with addiction or homelessness. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. Kate, your organization, I wonder, has your organization noticed an increase in people who are experiencing homelessness in Peoria and panhandling, and when did that begin?
Sure. I think we are seeing an increase in the number of individuals that we're seeing out engaging in those activities. I think COVID led to a significant increase in just individuals who aren't able to really meet their basic needs and are finding that they need to ask for help in a very vulnerable way. And so kind of getting on the street corners is one of the ways that they can get in front of people to really meet those basic needs that they have. And we do have a street outreach team who is out within our communities doing that outreach and engaging with folks. And they are learning the same thing too, that it's really just a lack of those basic needs that we're seeing.
I want to read two headlines from different Illinois media outlets in the past few months. J.J. Bullock's piece in the Peoria Journal-Star is "Homeless People in Peoria Resort to Panhandling to Survive." And then from WTVO in Rockford in June, "Many Rockford panhandlers are not homeless, using panhandling to supplement their income," city says. Chris, I wonder, can you talk about, and I think we've improved our connection to you now, are there more legitimate reasons than others for panhandling? How do you think about that?
Sure, yeah. Sorry about the technological difficulties there. You know, what we keep seeing, what we keep hearing from folks in our area that are panhandling is that there's a lack of livable wages.
There's a housing shortage of affordable and accessible housing. And so whether it's supplemental income just to make up the gap in those wage shortages, or if it's their primary source of income because they have other barriers to employment, we found a lot of people, particularly during COVID, like Kate said, have resorted to asking the community for help.
Yeah, and that's another way to look at it. I've noticed in particular, there's a woman who, on a route that I drive fairly frequently, sits there with a walker. She looks fairly old, and her sign, I mean, she does not claim to be homeless. She says Social Security, not enough for medical bills or something along those lines is what her sign says. Can you talk about the sort of, do you get the sense from people that they would almost rather think that they're helping a homeless person and not someone who's, you know, maybe just a little more down on their luck than the average person?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure what motivates individuals to give to someone who might be panhandling. There's a lot of stigma surrounding both. There's concerns that people are just hustling or scamming people. But what I've seen here personally in Peoria area is an overwhelming generosity from people. While there are awful attacks on people who are panhandling or who are experiencing homelessness, I see every day people stopping, rolling down, giving them the change in their cup holder or some money out of their pocket or providing a meal for someone who might be in need of that basic need. So I see both, and I hear stories of both. And I don't want us to get lost in just the negative aspect of this, is that there are a lot of generous people who understand that we are in a very difficult time in our country's history with employment and housing and the pandemic, and that people are desperate to meet their basic needs.
All right, let's go to the phones now. We have Hannah is on the line from Rockford at 800-222-9455. Hannah, thank you for calling in.
Hi, I was just calling to make the comment that I live in Rockford and closer to the downtown area, and homeless people know where I live and they can see me come in and out of my home. And often from my terrace, I can see like a plenty of, you know, giving people, give them money and this, that, and the other. But then shortly after that, I have watched them from my terrace go and like either buy drugs or shoot up drugs. And there's also a wonderful homeless woman who smiles at everybody, and she's actually panhandling against her will because there's a man that regularly comes and picks up money from her. It's wild to think like how broad the perspective is on homeless.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Hannah. Thank you for the call. Kate, I wonder if you have a response to what we just heard from Hannah there about the sort of range of experiences people have with this.
I think there certainly is a wide range of experiences. As Chris was mentioning, you know, desperation can lead to a number of different routes that people will take. At the end of the day, though, you know, this isn't a criminal justice issue. And I think that's the basis of the conversation right now is this something that we're facing when there are criminal activities taking place? Are there ways to address that through the community? And I think the answer to that is yes. But the vast majority of times that individuals are engaging in this activity, there is nothing that they're doing to break the law. They're really just trying to make whatever they need to so that they can live and survive. And so I think that that's what we have to focus on in the conversation is the majority rather than some of the one-off examples that certainly are founded and need to be addressed from a community perspective. But that's just certainly not the vast majority of individuals who are panhandling.
JJ Bullock, on that point, I mean, we just heard Kate say this is not a criminal justice issue, but that's not for lack of trying in different parts of Illinois. There have been efforts to criminalize this sort of activity, but they have been, as we said earlier, ruled unconstitutional, struck down by the courts, including one in Peoria. Can you talk a little bit about that and the grounds for which that local rule was deemed unconstitutional?
Sure. So it all goes back to a 2015 United States Supreme Court ruling that said panhandling was a protected form of speech under the First Amendment. So essentially what that said was people have a right to ask for help in the same way that they have a right to stand outside their city hall and say, I want lower taxes. People have a right to say, I need $5. So, you know, it was a protected form of speech under the First Amendment. And then there was an ACLU case in Illinois with Downers Grove and a couple other cities, 15 cities in total, that the ACLU sent these letters to and said, you have panhandling ordinances that are unconstitutional based on what the Supreme Court said. Most of the cities just took their ordinances away with little fight, but there was a case in Downers Grove where a man sued the city and he won, and the city actually had to pay him money because they were trying to restrict where people could panhandle, particularly at medians, intersections, and roadsides, which is exactly the same type of thing that was brought up by the Peoria City Council back in July. They were trying to find ways to limit people from panhandling at intersections, medians, and on the sides of roads. The city council quickly learned in that meeting from the city's lawyer, Chrissy Peterson, that this issue was far more complex than just removing people from those areas, because the Supreme Court had already ruled that panhandling was a protected form of speech. And if you were to limit where people could panhandle, you would have to limit all forms of speech in those areas. So charities like St. Jude, who sometimes ask for donations at intersections and medians, firefighters who might have a boot asking for donations, those would have to be restricted in the same way as panhandling. You cannot just target panhandling as a form of speech. So it makes this whole issue very, very complex.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, let's take a couple of more callers on line two. Somebody calling in from Springfield. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I just wanted to call in and say that due to the lack of movement on this issue in Springfield, I am actually moving out of the area that I live in that is near downtown to another community, which I was told by a young lady who was on the street last year during the summer. I went down and talked to her and said, what are you guys not getting? Why are you here? Why are you defecating on the sidewalk? You know, why are you harassing my children while they walk by? And she said, you know what? You don't like it? Move. And I've exhausted all the resources I can in my community, and I've got to the point where I said, you know what? I'm going to take her advice. I'm going to pack up and I'm going to move. I'm going to move out of this area because I don't want to expose my children to it. The hypodermic needles that we find in the parks downtown by the library, it's gotten out of control, and it's not as bad this summer as compared to last summer, but it is continuing, and I don't see any end in sight. I haven't gotten any traction from the HOT team here in town, the outreach. The neighborhood police officers don't return my calls anymore, probably because I've called them so many times. And, you know, the mayor and their hands are tied because of the Supreme Court. And now the local hotel has built a fence, a steel fence, so that these people can't be on their grounds.
Interesting.
It seems as though everyone is putting up fences and either moving or leaving, and no one seems to really care to actually do anything about the people who, this is the biggest issue for me, is I'm a taxpaying citizen who peruses downtown and spends money, or used to.
Right.
And
okay.
Now I'm not going to be, because there's a lack of movement on these people who are shouting down women and children, doing drugs, leaving, you know.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your perspective. We appreciate hearing that. We are running short on time, so I want to see if we can get in one more caller. Ed is calling in, also from Springfield. Ed, thanks for calling.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Well, you know, our church is downtown at 7th and Capitol, Grace Lutheran, and we provide a food pantry. And we have what are called street bags that are food that does not need to be cooked. And while, everybody has a right to the free, I understand that, and I support that, I hesitate to give money because I'm not sure if we're giving drugs and alcohol boost. So I don't give money, but I do provide food.
Sure. All right, Ed, thank you for calling in, sharing your perspective about the food pantry at Grace Lutheran Church. I got married in that church, by the way, but I digress. Kate, just a couple of minutes left in the program. We just heard a caller there saying, you know, concerned about giving money. And we heard, other perspectives on that. What if people who do want to help those who are experiencing homelessness or just encountering panhandlers in general, what is the best thing to do?
Sure. I think there's a very personal approach to this. So everybody needs to kind of examine it and figure out what they're most comfortable with. But I certainly wouldn't say that giving money is the wrong thing. If you're not comfortable giving money, if you have a hesitation with that, actually, the Heart of Illinois United Way has a 2-in-1 information referral card that can be printed off. You could print off a few and keep them in your back pocket to help connect people to that resource. Also, certainly giving to our funded agencies who are using evidence-based practices to really connect individuals either experiencing homelessness or out on the streets for any reason to the resources that they need to hopefully help them work towards sustainable and systemic change within their lives. So there are certainly other avenues as well, but focusing on the fact that individuals experiencing homelessness or panhandling shouldn't be defined by that. They're people first, trying to honor and respect that, and then giving to them directly or indirectly in the best way that you can.
All right. And we will put a link on our website to the what you those cards you were mentioning. If people want to look for that, 21stshow.org. We'll link back to your organization from there. I want to thank Kate Green with the Heart of Illinois United Way's Home for All Continuum of Care, Chris Schaffner, Program Director of the Jolt Harm Reduction Foundation in Peoria, and Peoria Journal star, business and government reporter J.J. Bullock. J.J., Kate, Chris, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thanks, Brian.
Having us.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow, where we'll be bringing you an interview with a pair of authors on a book about the U.S. Supreme Court and race. One is a former U of I professor. That's coming up on tomorrow's program. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.